This is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news highlights from the world of amateur radio. If you retransmit audio news through a repeater, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your signal to stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset.
I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and these are our stories for Friday, June 22nd. Each year, as ARRL Field Day approaches, state and local governments traditionally take advantage of the opportunity to honor amateur radio in the form of various proclamations. This year is no exception. As of press time, the following states and municipalities have issued amateur radio proclamations: Alabama, Idaho, Massachusetts, South Carolina, Washington, the town of Orange Park, Florida, the town of Cicero, New York, the city of Goose Creek, South Carolina, the city of Midland, Michigan, Volusia County, Florida, and Hancock County, Ohio. More than 1,400 clubs and groups in the U.S. and Canada have let ARRL know of their plans to be on the air for Field Day by registering their locations on the Field Day locator page at www.arrl.org/field-day-locator. A 100-kilowatt shortwave broadcast transmitter in Germany will be sending digital Field Day greetings to North American radio amateurs in the MFS K64 mode. This will be during the weekly music and DJ broadcast of the Mighty KBC on 9925 kilohertz at midnight to 0200 UTC on Sunday, June 24th. The MFS K64 transmission, centered on 1500 Hz, begins at about 0130 UTC. An RSID will be transmitted just before the transmission to guide decoding software to the correct mode and audio frequency. You can send reception reports to themightykbc@gmail.com. Kosovo, which won its battle to become a DXCC entity earlier this year, appears to have another fight on its hands. International Telecommunication Union Secretary General Hulin Jao has determined that Z6 call sign prefix was never allocated to Kosovo. The Secretary General issued his finding in the wake of a March 16th inquiry from Serbia, from which Kosovo declared independence 10 years ago, the last piece of the former Yugoslavia to do so. Serbia has continued to reject Kosovo's secession. The Secretary General cited Article 19 of the radio regulations, which states that the management of international series of call signs is an ITU prerogative. Kosovo joins a short list of DXCC entities where radio amateurs use unofficial call sign prefixes. The list also includes Western Sahara, S0, and the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, 1A. Earlier this year, in Mission Goodwill Kosovo, the IARU Member Society Headquarters Station Z6OA mounted a massive special event operation to celebrate Kosovo's addition to the DXCC list, as well as its 10th anniversary of independence. Avenues to resolve the call sign prefix issue for Kosovo are all fraught with possible roadblocks. In addition to possible action at World Radio Communication Conference 2019, which could run into Serbian opposition, Kosovo's telecommunications regulator could decide to assign call signs from a block the ITU is not using. The Federal Communications Commission turned 84 years old on June 19th, the FCC tweeted. The FCC came into being in 1934 as an independent agency of the federal government when Congress passed the Communications Act of 1934, abolishing the Federal Radio Commission, created in 1912 after the Titanic disaster, and transferring jurisdiction over radio licensing, including amateur radio licensing, to the new FCC. According to its website, the FCC, quote, regulates interstate and international communications by radio, television, wire, satellite, and cable in all 50 states, the District of Columbia, and U.S. territories, unquote. And it implements and enforces U.S. communications law and regulations. The FCC is composed of 5 commissioners appointed by the president who must undergo confirmation by the U.S. Senate. The president designates one member as the FCC chairman. Two major expeditions are on track to make many DXers happy campers this year. Just ahead is the KH-1 KH-7Z Baker Island D-Expedition. The team's enthusiasm level was reported to be high as KH-1 KH-7Z prepared to depart Pago Pago, American Samoa, on June 20th aboard the Naya en route to Baker Island. The D-Expedition is scheduled to fire up around midnight UTC on June 28th, with 8 operating positions active on all open bands. The team will be on the air around the clock and on 20 meters continuously for the following 10 days. The KH-1 KH-7Z team consists of 14 operators. Baker Island is the 5th most wanted DXCC entity according to Clublog. As reported, KH-1 KH-7X will employ FT8 digital mode to find openings that might not be obvious and to serve as a beacon. The KH-1 KH-7X group helped to develop the WSJTX software version that incorporates an FT8 D-Expedition mode. The D-Expedition said using FT8 D-Expedition mode may allow the operators to expand the bands they are able to use at this point in the solar cycle. The Dateline DX Association is sponsoring the D-Expedition to Baker Island. The Pacific Islands Refuges and Monuments Office of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service granted the DDXA permission to land and operate on the uninhabited island. Meanwhile, the VP-6D Ducey Island D-Expedition reports that its preparations remain on schedule for its October 20th through November 3rd operation. The D-Expedition has announced that 15-year-old Mason Matrazzo, KM4SII, of Clemens, South Carolina, will join the VP-60 pilot team. In 2017, he operated from Iceland as TF-KM4SII, and in July 2018, he will operate from Curaçao as PJ-2-KM4SII. The Braveheart, owned by Nigel Jolly, K6NRJ, will transport the 14-member Ducey Island team to its South Pacific destination in September, sailing from Mangareva, French Polynesia. The Perseverance DX Group is sponsoring the VP-6D DX Expedition. Ducey Island is the 26th most wanted DXCC entity, according to Clublog.
And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
You may not be aware, besides having the radios to complete school contacts and some random contacts, plus a digipeater on board the ISS, there's also an ARRIS ham TV system. Back in April, the transmitter in the Columbus module decided to stop working. Without a way to repair it in space, it will have to be sent in for repairs. Yes, it will be returned to Earth, be repaired, and then tested and sent back to the ISS. However, to make the round trip takes more than just placing it in a box and sending it. There has to be approval from the related space agencies as well as the cost involved. More information on the Ham TV can be found on the amsat-on.be website. Thanks to Gaston, ON4WF, and the ARRIS Ham TV for this story. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, June 22nd. All eyes are on field day this weekend, and it looks as though the sun might be cooperating. Several sunspots are visible, and they're growing. Now, this means a risk for solar flares. In fact, we've had a C-class flare already. But it also means a significant boost in the solar flux index, which is already up to 82. As long as we can avoid a flare, conditions on the upper HF bands might be promising for field day. Already, 10 meters has been opening occasionally for transcontinental sideband contacts. There is a chance that we could be grazed by a stream of solar particles this weekend, but the risk of geomagnetic disturbances is relatively low. On VHF and UHF, don't forget to set up a 6-meter station at your field day site. The band has been hot for the last couple of weeks, with almost daily sporadic E openings. On the West Coast and in the central U.S., be on the lookout for tropospheric ducting openings to put in field day appearances, especially on 2 meters and up.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.